How are you guys? You doing good? How many of you also started with Thanksgiving and you weren't used to doing that? Anybody? Like you kind of reversed it a little bit? Anybody? Kind of practice that? Yes, ma'am. Did you have anything neat happen? Was it different for you? Yeah? Yeah, absolutely. That's good. There you go. That's right. I've learned some mornings you wake up and you say, "Good Lord, it's morning," right? But it's better to wake up and say, "Good morning, Lord." You know, I mean, it just kind of changes your whole perspective, changes everything, right? Well, tonight, it's going to be really cool. We're excited about tonight. As Courtney was saying, we're going to transition from talking about prayer to talking about getting into God's Word. And not just reading God's Word. You learned a lot about that in Grow Track 1. You were encouraged to begin reading the Word of God and begin doing that, making that a practice, hopefully a daily, weekly practice. But tonight, we're gonna talk about digging into it a little bit further, not just reading the Word of God, but actually studying it. And I thought it'd be cool just to kind of start off with a couple questions for you guys. How many of you have maybe began reading the Bible for the very first time in your life just in the last, say, few months? Anybody? Right here. Awesome. That's cool. Back there. So a few of you guys. That's cool. And for you guys and for everybody, really, whether you've been reading it here for a few months or you've been reading it on and off your whole life or just in the last few years, what are some of the challenges you face in trying to read the Bible? Anybody just want to be open and honest that maybe found it challenging? Casey? Falling asleep. Yes. Yes. Thanks for your honesty, bro. He just lays before the Lord and falls asleep. I can't read anything at night. I'll just be honest. The Bible, anything, most nights. I'll just will fall asleep. I have to do it in the morning or it's not going to happen. Yeah. Absolutely. When I... There you go. There you go. You're like, what's wrong with you people? Dead gummit. Come on. Right here. You did. Yeah. Cool. That's awesome. Yep. That's cool. That's great. I mean, that's a great pointer to a lot of you guys. If those of you that just started, you know, if you're struggling with a little bit, try a different translation too. You know, so some people aren't crazy about that. I had a professor in Bible college tell me that the NIV was the trucker's version. We don't read that version. All right, bro. Most of your students in here are reading the NIV. But no, that can be super helpful for you. Yeah.
And what do? You go through the end. So
and then you hit Leviticus.
It's not, and then you run into Numbers and Leviticus.
Right.
Yes. And then you go to sleep. Yeah. Kings too. Right? But it's because it's not in chronological order. So you read something here and you're like, wait a minute. He was dead back here. Now he's alive here. So what, you know, what's going on? And I've been reading, you know, off and on for years and I get it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I love what we're doing as a church too. The story, this is cool. So if you have not gotten a copy of the story, grab it and read along with the church. In fact, read chapter one before Sunday. Pastor Jeremy's going to speak on chapter one basically this Sunday. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. That's so helpful, isn't it? I mean, there's so many great tools available to us now these days. Well, there can be lots of obstacles I'm sure a lot of us have faced them in different ways and when it comes to reading the Word of God. But there's a lot of different great methods out there. I brought this shoe with me. This is my 9-year-old son's shoe, and I brought it because I thought all day about this, and he knows how to tie his shoes, but goodness gracious, he's just trying different methods to figure out how to tie it more quickly and keep it tied during the day. And it's not just tying it. We got to double knot it, right? There's just all these different methods and different things. His PE coach, I had talked to him the other day. He's like, he just can't stop and tie a shoe. I think he's doing it when he's supposed to be doing push-ups. I don't think he likes push-ups. He's doing it when he's, you know, we're having all this discussion. We've had a lot of discussions about tying his shoes here recently. And I taught him because he was up here at the church the other day, and they're, like, literally flying off his feet as he walks. And I'm like, son, and I look at him, they're not tight. And so we have to teach him how to tighten them, you know. And so I just was thinking about that. And just like there's so many different methods that I'm trying to teach my son how to tie his shoes and get it down, you know, so he's comfortable with it to where it just becomes natural and routine, right? It's the same thing when it comes to, studying the Word of God. There's a lot of great methods out there that can help you and assist you, especially those of you that are getting it to it, you're new to it, you're learning it, some of the stuff you're reading is difficult, but the biggest thing, he doesn't want us to just read it, he wants us to apply it to our lives. And so tonight we're going to teach you a method and talk to you about a really neat method, an effective Bible study method called the SOAP method, and I'm going to let Courtney kind of take over from there.
All right, so how many of you remember hearing about the SOAP method in Grow Track 1? All right, good, you remember from last semester. So we are going to test your memory and see what you guys remember from Grow Track 1. So can anybody tell me what the S in SOAP stands for? Scripture. Scripture! All right, and so when we say scripture, what do we mean by that? Is it like the whole Bible? A scripture that stands out to us, yeah. We're not talking about the whole Bible, we're not talking about scripture, not just a random scripture, but something that stood out to us and what we're reading that day. All right. Oh, observation. Observation. What does observation mean?
What you observed about that scripture in context to what it's in. You read the scripture, what does that scripture mean in the Bible?
Yeah. Observe. What is the... Yeah, what you notice, what maybe like jumps off the page at you, right? Something that you just observe, like when you think of like an observation deck, it's like just what you can see. You're not looking at the details of like the cars on the road or the trees that are in the hills that you're looking at. You're just kind of observing. It's just like a big picture. And then you see like, what do you notice, right? So that's observation. What's the A? Application. You guys remember so well from Grow Track 1. You listened. Which is why you're in Grow Track 2. Application. What does application mean?
Basically, you look at a particular scripture and you correlate it to what you're going through, like a period in your life. Like you said, it stands out, but this particular scripture can be applied to what you're currently going through or situation.
Yeah. Any other thoughts or items on? Yeah. Yeah, seeing that person, that character, that situation that you're reading about, and then noticing, seeing yourself in that. How does that apply to you? How does that apply to my life? All right, so that's application. And then the very last letter of SOAP, P.
Prayer.
Prayer. Why is prayer? We're reading the Bible. We talked about prayer last week. Why is prayer part of SOAP? Why is prayer part of our Bible study practices? Ask him to speak to you. That's good. Yeah, exactly, exactly. You guys did so well. You remembered all of those things. So we talked about SOAP in Grow One. We talked about it a little bit, and it sounds like some of you guys must have either stuck out really well, or maybe some of you are already putting that to practice. But tonight, we're going to dive into that. We're going to teach you guys, help you understand how to use that even more and how to make that more effective in your time of Bible reading and prayer. And so I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Talia, and she's going to talk to us a little bit more about why we should use the SOAP method.
How are you guys?
Good.
I got one. Renee's good. You guys good?
Good?
Are you ready for all this tonight? All right. So we're definitely, like Courtney said, digging into soap. What I want to do is more talk about why we use soap. Now, I'm not talking about why we use soap in the shower, right? But why do we use soap? Why do we need to? I'm a firm believer in this. I love. Alyssa, my best friend, knows this is true, and Courtney too. I love to dissect God's word. I love to study his word. I know you're kind of the same. You are the same way. I just love digging, not necessarily into a new meaning of scripture. You can get into error doing that. But I love to use the shovel in God's word. I love to dig and find the nuggets of truth that God wants me to discover. So we're going to teach you how to do that tonight. But I want to share the why behind it. Why do we use soap? Because it's not only important to read the Bible. How many of you guys will raise your hand and be honest and say, I've been reading God's word since I've been a Christian. I've been reading it. Hold it high. I've been reading God's word pretty consistently. Now, keep your hands up. But no, don't put them down yet. Not yet. How many of you would say, I'm understanding what I'm reading really well? Okay. Yeah, I'm getting it. Exactly. It is God's will for you to understand his voice. How horrible would that be and frustrating as parents if we were speaking to our children all the time and they couldn't understand what we were saying? Well, I kind of feel that way anyway. Right? Right? That was not a good metaphor at all. But I've got some really great scriptures for you because God doesn't want you to just read it. He wants you to understand it. And I'm going to take you a step further tonight, so is Pastor Stephen. Learn how to apply it. And what we're going to teach you, this soap method, you can apply it to any part of Scripture you want. And when you apply it, it's going to have a tremendous effect on your heart and your walk with Christ. All right? I have a few scriptures. I love this one. These, I put them in your notes on purpose. I know your notes are long, but that's okay. Colossians 2:3. It says, in him, listen, guys, in the Lord lies hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What lies hidden in the Lord? What lies hidden? Treasures. Treasures, what kind of treasures? Of wisdom and knowledge. What do you think the wisdom is about? Wisdom for what? Teaching us how to live, how to walk. And knowledge, what kind of knowledge do you think is hidden? How to deal with different things, how to get to know God better, how to deal with life situations. But listen, it says, in him lies all of these treasures. When I think of the word treasure, I think of something buried. I think of something super valuable that I might have to dig for a little bit, right? And I see God's word. Hear me that Bible. I truly see God's word like that. It's not a mystery book that is supposed to be frustrating to decode. But I do see it as a treasure box that's worth the time and the effort to do some digging in to find the treasure. And boy, when you find it, you'll see how valuable and life-changing it is. All right? So Colossians 2:3 is a good one. Let's go to the next one real quick. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture. How much scripture?
All.
Some?
All.
A little bit?
All.
Most?
All.
All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Some of you are in here saying, Pastor Talia, I've been at this for about a year now, and I feel like I'm still making the same mistakes. I'm still not where I need to be. I am faithful serving, faithful coming on Sundays, worship, love it. cannot get past certain things. Part of it is you're not in the Word of God enough. You're not understanding it in a way you can apply it. I'm just telling you right now, that's probably one of the problems. Because God's Word says that when you read it, understand it, and apply it, what does it do? It trains me in what? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Like right living? Like who? So let me break it down into layman's terms. Reading God's Word teaches and trains me how to live like Jesus lived, how to act like Jesus wants me to act, and how to think like Jesus wants me to think. All right? That the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Dear Lord, I think I'm going to have to stop. I could preach on every one of them. Because some of you are praying for guidance, but still making the wrong choice. You're jumping the gun. Like you're not waiting to hear from God through his word on important life decisions. It doesn't say your friend is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It doesn't say grandma is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It doesn't even say your lawyer is a lamp unto your feet or your doctor. What is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? His word. Yes, the word of God. Why do you think he refers to it in such a way? What function is he showing you that his word will do for you and produce? It will guide me and direct me in what kind of places? Yes, thank you. What, a light is only really effective when it's dark, okay? And a lamp into my path. All right, see how important God's word is? Look at Joshua 1:8. It says, the book of the law, which would be like the Bible to us. This was just the first five books of the Bible are the books of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Why? So that. Anytime you see "so that" in a scripture, you stop and you underline it and you figure out why it's there. So that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. The parts you like? No, all. The parts that mom said were right? The parts that the church you grew up said was normal? No, all that is written in it. For then you will make, then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. When? It says then. Why? When? That's it. Do you see? You guys just interpreted a pretty complex passage of scripture right there. Then means when you do what he said first in that scripture, then you get what the last sentence says. There's a condition. All right, let's look at the last one, Matthew 4:4. He says, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. So reading and understanding and applying God's word, do you see, guys, those are six or seven scriptures of benefits of hundreds in God's word. I didn't have time. So that's the why behind using soap. Why do we want to use soap? There's too much good treasure going to waste that you're not tapping into that is at your disposal if you just learn how to use it properly. And so Pastor Stephen's going to talk to us now about the how. How do we use this soap correctly? Pastor Stephen, explain it to us.
All right. It's really pretty simple. For those of you that may have never used this method before to study the Word of God, it's not difficult. We've given you kind of the acronym, and let's look at those again just a little bit more in detail. But when you sit for your daily time with God, and you sit with him, and you begin to read the Bible as you normally would, with one simple difference, you're going to use this soap method, right? So you underline, and you take a passage, you take a chapter. We're going to be giving you some chapters and some scriptures we want you to begin reading as a group, as Grow Track 2. And so as you read those, you underline or you make note of any verses that really jump out to you with any kind of significance. So if you read John chapter 1, right, and you begin to read that, say you're going to read that tomorrow morning, you can take this method, and now after you've read the whole chapter, you take it and you think, man, what, You begin to underline some things. You begin to look at it, and maybe a particular passage, a particular verse really jumped out at you, right? You know, when you read John chapter 1, it's not that there's only one specific passage you got to do and the other ones are wrong. No, it's the one that sticks out to you, the one that speaks to you. Because all of us are in different seasons, right? Some of you are in some incredibly challenging seasons. Some of you, life's pretty good, right? And the first four verses of that passage may stick out to some of you, where for the rest of you, it might be something in the middle. It might be one verse, or it might be three or four verses. Does that make sense to you guys? It's what sticks out to you in those scriptures, right? And so you start with the scripture, you write the verse or the verses, take it and write it down on a piece of paper, and you, the one that just stood out to you as you were reading, right? So you take that, and then you begin to reread it and look at it. And then that's where observation comes in, now that you've written that scripture down and you figured out what scriptures you want to look into. What did you observe about the scripture that really stood out to you, right? You know, ask yourself that. Begin to write it down, you know. For me, I will take a verse, take Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust being a big theme there. So I'll circle trust, you know, because that's the big thing that sticks out to me when I read that, you know. And lean not on your own understanding. I'll underline that or highlight that part because it just, I start to realize, okay, what does that mean? That means my understanding is limited. I'm just not as smart as God. So there's just times I've got to trust him because I'm just Stephen. I'm not smart enough. I don't know what's next. I don't know down the road like he does. And I'm just going to have to trust him right now in this season that's difficult and lean on him and not myself, because myself, I'm limited, right? So you just begin to think through it. Begin to observe those things, right? And so you write about what you observed and stood out to you the most. And this can be one sentence. It can be a whole book. I mean, it could be whatever's really stuck out to you and you're observing there. And then the application begins to take process, right? Begin to ask yourself, what does this mean to me today? You know, what does this mean for me? You know, going back to that verse in Proverbs, I just need to trust the Lord, you know? I think about what's going on in my life right now, and there's some things I don't know how they're going to turn out, and I'm scared. I'm nervous. My finances, I don't know what's going to happen next. I think I just need to trust the Lord. Is he trustworthy? Yeah, I just need to trust him. That's how I need to apply it to myself, to my life. How can you apply the observation so it affects you in your daily life, right? And then it goes to prayer. And I'll go a step further. You know, for me, just everybody's different, but like sometimes I'll take that and I'll write it on a note card and put it in my pocket all day. So when I stick my hand in my pocket, there's that verse, and I think about it, and I pull it out, and I look at it. You know, or some of the application or the thoughts from it, right? But then you go with the P and you start to pray. You begin to really pray. Write out a prayer to God based on what you just learned, right? That you need to trust the Lord. How do you need to trust the Lord? What you learned to apply, what you just learned. And ask him to help you apply this truth to your life. And that's all there is to it. It's really not hard. And the more you do it, the easier it's going to become. And the cool thing is, guys, is no matter how much you read the Word of God, the next time you come around to John chapter 1 and you do it, you're at a completely different season in your life, and it's not going to be the first four verses. It's going to be the back four verses because you're going through something else, right? That's what's so cool about the Word of God. And there's going to be stuff in there that you never saw before, even if you've been in church and you've been reading the Bible for years. And that's what's so amazing about it, and that's why we can't stop digging into it and letting it change our lives, right? And so, and just pray that, and pray scripture. Literally walk around with that sheet and pray the words of the scriptures. Pray that application into your life, you know. Pray the prayer that you've written down, but also just pray that scripture and get it in your heart, get it in your mind. And all of a sudden, man, you're really beginning to dissect the Word of God in the passage that you were reading. And it becomes not just checking it off your list that, yeah, I read the Word today. It's, man, I really got something from this. The Word of God is really starting to transform my life and change me. Does that make sense to you guys? So that's kind of how to use it.
About praying God's Word, too, is the Bible says when we pray according to the will of God, he hears us. And when he hears us, if we pray according to his will, what does it also say? We shall have whatever we are praying for. And so there's a trick to answer prayer, and that's praying God's will. When you're praying Scripture, you're always praying God's will. So that's very important, and I just wanted to throw in this one thing when he was talking on observation. In Grow 3, we're going to
get into more of like principles of biblical interpretation, deeper level. But there's one rule of interpretation. I guess I'll say it in the mic so it gets recorded for those missing. There's one rule of interpretation I want to throw out there, as Pastor Stephen was saying, that it just came to my mind, that you need to know that you, when you're trying to figure out and interpret a scripture, observation, and when you're going from observation to application, it's very important that you don't accidentally pervert or twist the word of God. Now, what do you mean by that? How do I avoid it? There's a rule that I was taught in Bible college, and you'll probably remember as soon as I say it, but the word of God to the original, the word of God for you today cannot mean something it never meant to the original audience. So that's a fantastic boundary. It's like guardrails, you know, on a road. That is one of many guardrails that we learn in Bible college of any kind of interpretation, by the way. You are perverting any kind of literature or historical literature, including God's word, if you make it mean something unique and new to you that it never, ever meant to the original audience, okay? So in other words, you can't take it and go, boy, but I really like, I think it'd be cool if it meant this. So now I'm going to stake my life on this. I've seen Christians do that. And they've twisted scripture, and that's not what God meant. That's not what he said. They took it out of context, or they twisted it to make it fit their situation in a way that didn't work. It wasn't biblical. So just make sure that you're reading that in the right context. We're going to teach you guys to do that in Grow 3 at a deeper level. But I just want to make sure you guys understand that. So if you're interpreting a scripture that is now causing God's character to be in question, or it's, do you understand what I'm saying? If it questions, it goes against the character and nature of God and against scripture, it can't be a truth. You can't apply. No, can't. That's not a good observation. That's a wrong observation. And when Christians get in error, it's when they make a wrong observation or conclusion, and then they try to apply it, an untruth to their life, and they get out in some weird stuff. Oh, yeah. And then, downward spiral. James.
Right, that's really good. And I was just going to mention that, too, was, you know, when you're doing this, if you're new to this, you know, if you're kind of questioning that, have, you know, someone who's a mentor in your life, a spiritual mentor that you trust that you can go to and just say, hey, I want to share with you what God's been showing me and let them see it, too. You know, that would help, too. So great point, absolutely, to be careful there. So, well, cool. We want to get you guys working here. We want to just not tell you about this. We want to show it to you. And so what we're going to do real quick is I'm going to read through a passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 6, and then we're going to actually do the SOAP method for you, and then at your table, you're going to take another passage, and we're going to have you do it at your desk or your table. Does that sound good? And so we didn't want to just tell you about it. We wanted to kind of actually model this for you guys. And so here's kind of a demonstration of it. What I'm going to read is Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read like the first 14, 15 verses. And then we're gonna apply the SOAP method to it. Sound good? Awesome. Or if you got a Bible, open it. I'm gonna be reading from the New Living Translation, just so you know. It says here, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Gotta love that, right? For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean that we can go on sinning? Of course not. Of course not. Great passage, right? Good stuff there. A lot going on in 15 verses, right? So if that were the passage that me and Pastor Talia were doing, what we're going to do is we're going to look at that. There's a whole lot of good stuff going on there. But we're gonna go ahead and just pull out the first four verses as the scripture that we feel like just sticks out to us. And we want to take that and rip it apart a little bit. Sound good? And so we've chosen those first four verses from Romans chapter 6. And maybe we can bring it back up on the screens. There it is. And so we've picked that as our scripture. The next thing we want to do there is we want to do the observation. Write out the portion of scripture, what you apply to the soap to discuss and discuss why that you've, what you see in that scripture, what sticks out to you, what are you observing. And I'm just going to share a couple things that just kind of stuck out to me. I took it and just took those four verses. I looked at the first verse, and it's this rhetorical question, right? Well, then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? This rhetorical question is sitting there, and we find a strong answer. And what is it in the next verse? Of course not, right? Paul's using some pretty strong language there. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So Christ came to set us free from our sins, not to feed us, not to feed them, right? Not to feed our sins. He came to free us from our sins, right? And so he's using some very strong language here because he's dealing with a group of people that continue to sin, right? That just continue and they think, well, just more grace abounds. God's just going to forgive me. Maybe you know people like that. They're like, well, God's forgiven me, so it's all good. The pastor said that there's this amazing grace for me, so I can just keep doing my own thing. I don't know about you, but my Jesus died for those sins. He paid a great price for those sins. So that sticks out to me like, of course not. No, we don't keep on sinning. He came and he died for me that I might be free of those sins, right? Baptism really sticks out to me in verse 3. That's something that sticks out to me that I'd want to kind of begin to observe and look at, right? And we joined him in his death. What in the world does that mean, right? That's something that, you know, probably when I was a new believer, I'd read things like that and, okay, what does that mean? And then verse 4. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And I circled that. I want to live that new life. I want that new life. What does that mean, new? You know, I mean, I know what new means, but this new life, why is that important, right? And so you just begin to observe that. You begin to pull out these words, pull out these sentences that stick out to you. New, why would I continue? If I have this new life, why would I want to even continue in my old ways anyway, right? Jesus has died for me. And so those are some things that you observe. I'm going to let Pastor Talia take over with the application and the prayer.
Anything else you observe? Anything else you guys observed on that O before we go off of it? Because that, Renee.
I did. Verse 13.
Well, let's stick to 1 to 4 for the soap. Yeah, that's okay. Just for this exercise. You can come to me with that after. Is that what was it?
Well, it was basically, I took this as instead give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead. So to me, that's thyself.
Yeah, which ties in, I think, to verse 3.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. 3 and 13 connect to each other very well. So the observance, let's zoom out. So here's what you're going to find. Where you could get stuck is if you stay zoomed in under the microscope so close you can't see the little speck anymore. You ever done that with the microscope? So let's all zoom out. I feel a little bit of that happening. Let's zoom the microscope out. Just give me the main idea. Give me the main idea. What do you think is the main thing that Paul is saying to these Romans? These Romans who were completely non-Jews, who had no point of reference for God, Jehovah at all, or the law. Right, absolutely. Because these Romans, who have no concept of the law, right, find out now they can go to heaven and believe in Jesus because of what he did on the cross with grace. But what does it sound like they were doing? They're still being Romans, man. They're still having like orgies and all kinds of craziness, seriously. And Paul's like, whoa, 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 whoa. But they're like, oh, but the grace. And Paul's like, wait a minute here. Let me break this down for you. Pam asked, what were you going to say? Together. Death and sin together. Life and Christ together. Interesting. Cool. The what part?
Through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
So how do we live the new life? In Christ. Hold on, hold on. You just gave me a good answer, but what did you mean? What do you mean in Christ? So you just said I can live a holy life by being in Christ. Well, that's wonderful. Yes, the scripture says that. But what did you just say? What does that mean to be in Christ?
Be Christ-like.
To be like him. How do we become like him? Death to sin and connection to the vine, to Jesus, right? We learned that in Starting Point, being connected to him. Okay, Lonnie.
I got a question. Like, if you're over people's heads already, like, what do we even mean by buried with Christ by baptism?
Well, they knew that. Now, remember, these are believers, and they've been baptized. So they understand enough to have been baptized in water. We know that that's one of the first things the apostles did, is when they believed in Christ, they would make sure they were baptized in water, in Christ's baptism. And then later, as you read in the book of Acts, they follow up with, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?
So the Romans that he's talking to right now, they weren't idiots.
No. They're Christians.
They knew what was going on.
They did. They knew the Lord. They knew grace, but they didn't understand how to live a holy life yet. And how many of us can identify with that, right? So great observations. Let's look at now application. How do we apply that, what Paul's teaching the Romans in like AD 50 or 70 or whatever, how do we apply that to us today? There are wrong answers. An application. I said there are no wrong answers. No, yeah, there are. Okay, so let's break it down. One of the first things Pastor Stephen said was he noticed this whole thing about grace, verse 1. Paul uses a rhetorical question. Anytime you see a rhetorical question, there's usually a very strong point that they're trying to make in the Bible. So he's using a rhetorical question. Let's read it again. Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Let's apply that. Apply it to your life. What do we not want to do to the grace of God? Keep sinning so that it keeps having to be poured out, right? I love that it says more of his wonderful grace. Isn't it wonderful? You know what? He's so good. He knows we don't have all this figured out yet. He loves us anyway. All right? So, yeah, let's not. Our application number one, let's go back up to just a couple of the ones we wrote. We need to not maybe use grace as an excuse to keep sinning. Is that a good way to say it? Correct me if I'm hearing you wrong. So we need not use, I just sounded very King James, not use the grace of God for a license to sin more. My goodness, yeah. Help us, Lord. Okay, number two, you guys said some stuff about verse 3 and it connected to 13 about this whole baptism in Christ. We're joined with Christ in baptism. Therefore, we were joined with him in his death. You know, when you go down in the water, it's symbolic of you dying in Christ, right? And then coming up in new life in him. How do we apply that today to your life? How do you live if you're dead to sin? Jolene. Practical example of allowing Christ to live through you in everyday life. Give me one. Okay, so tell me about work when someone's being a patootie. And being rude to you and horrible, and the old nature, pre-2 Corinthians 5:17 says, 1 Corinthians. So new creatures in Christ that now walking in the grace and the power of God and the power of the Spirit, how do we respond? How do we allow ourselves to make the right choice and walk in God's grace in that moment? I'm calling it how to live dead, because that's the problem. They don't know they know how to die in Christ, but they don't know how to live dead in Christ and alive in Christ. They don't know how to live dead to the sin nature, alive in Christ. So you're saying this first step for you, sometimes just take a moment. Don't react, right? Oh, gosh. I have no idea what you're talking about. Pastor Stephen, not a word. All right. Yes, Renee. Okay.
I had a confrontation with a senior director. And because I have died to self, the first thing that popped into my head was, how would God respond to this?
Awesome.
And God
wow.
does not always back down. And I didn't walk away. But my response was guided because of what God's word teaches me. So my response was calm. I was able to manage my tone of voice, which is oh, not me. And I was able to speak to her in a kinder manner, but yet get my point across.
Okay.
About how she was treating me.
That is excellent and very hard to do. And honestly, you should be commended for that. That's tough. Give me one. Okay, you guys are doing great. You're doing great. All right, give me one more example of everyday application of what we're discussing right now. Brian.
I regret not doing this, but I was going to the gas station and I stopped and I was kind of watching a vehicle and I could tell that the guy and the woman in the vehicle, they were kind of having an argument. It kind of put me in a seeing it and knowing it. So they pull up to the gas pump right beside me. And I can hear not everything that he's saying, but I can hear his tone of voice. I can tell, like, okay, this really is an argument. They weren't just, like, excited about something and he's flailing his arms. And it came to me as, like, you know, you really should give her some encouragement. Tell her that, you know, even though what she's going through, God still loves her. And try to intervene in the situation. So I immediately started questioning myself.
Sure.
Me trying to say, hey, you know, think about that. And I pulled myself out of it because of that, but I second-guessed it. So I was saying that to say this, allowing God that when he does say, hey, intervene in this, mm-hmm. to allow him to do that through you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So basically kind of like obey. I didn't mean that. Like, I mean, that came out sarcastic. Eesh. All right. Okay.
It's not only when it's something directly to deal with you, but maybe a situation that you interject yourself into.
Right. Right. Okay. So you guys only got to verse 3. Do you see how, I mean, I would rather, and I believe Pastor Stephen, you'd say the same. I'd rather you guys do like 15 verses a day or a chapter and apply soap to one or two verses and, like, understand it and apply it and then write a prayer out for it, then you to fly through the Bible in a year and not understanding 70% of what you read and your life didn't change as a result. Yeah, like what a waste. We want you to eventually to get to the place you can read the Bible in a year and understand it and apply it and grow from it. But until then, let's do this. What would be a great prayer that we could pray? Real quick, give me a line. What are we going to pray and ask God to do as a result of our application, observation, and our scripture? Say it, what? Now, this is one you can't really get wrong.
She said, Lord, help me live like I'm dead.
Ah. Lord, help me live dead to sin. How about alive in Christ? Because we don't want it to be walk around dead to sin all the time. There's a great part here to it that makes it really great, and that is be made live, what did I say? Be alive in Christ. Hmm. That's a good one. This is great. Now, come on. You mean to tell me that if you sit and pray and ask God to help you live dead to sin and become alive in Christ and ask God to help you speak, to let him speak through you. Come on, you seriously think he's not going to answer those kind of prayers? Oh, yes, he will. So here's what we're going to do. Pastor Stephen's going to set you up with our group work. We're going to let you guys use some soap, and then we're going to talk about it. Pastor Stephen.
All right, some of y'all need some soap. All right, so whoever's got a Bible, just go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So we're just going to give you two verses. That's it. We're going to let you tear it apart, rip it up, and use this method. And so what we want you to do as a table is to work together, and we've got some of our team is spread out. We're going to kind of hop in and just check on you guys. If you have any questions, just holler at us. But we want you to go through it and pick out, you know, look at that script. We've given you the scripture, the S part, right? And then we want you to observe what you see in those two verses, then apply it. And then write a prayer, okay? So this is kind of some group work for you guys to do. So take a few minutes and jump into it.
Thank you.
night. How many groups actually got through SOAP? Raise your hand. This group back here. I know you're still going, right? Are you still on S? Uh-oh, okay. Well, hey, I know some of you might not have gotten done yet, but hopefully you got a good feel for it. I just love to kind of hear from you guys. Let's start with the O, with the observation. Anybody raise their hand, just really want to share maybe what you as a group at your table observed by looking at. Well, let me read it first, okay? And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Great, great passage there, right? All right, so jumping to observation. Anybody want to share? If you don't share, I'll call on you. Write this guy right here, Mr. Casey. Not to copy the behaviors of this world. Absolutely, that stuck out to you guys. Awesome. We are set apart, so be it. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk, right? Gotcha. Good, good. Yeah.
The transition, when it says you're not conforming to the pattern of the soul, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is. And so basically that transition, that's the condition. Basically, you do that first part first, and then you will be able to know what his will is.
Good stuff. Good stuff. What else? Anything that wasn't mentioned yet that you observed? Right. Right. Because we want to please him, right? He's our heavenly Father, the kind that he finds. Yeah, definitely. What else? Anything else?
What?
Okay.
And so, dear brothers, it means pleading. So he's showing how he cares about them and how much he's putting into that other person.
Gotcha.
To do these things.
Awesome. One more here.
I like the part there where it says, but let God transform you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's take some of these things. These are some of the observations, a lot of them there. How do we apply some of these? How did you guys apply them? What were some statements you came up with when it came to that? Yeah.
Accountability.
Gotcha. Yeah. Somebody to kick you in the teeth when you need it, right? All right. What about don't copy the ways of this world? How do you apply that? Yeah. That is tough.
And that's been going on since Genesis.
That's right. Right.
Steeped in certain types of behaviors or ideologies, and if we don't know that it's wrong, is it really ever? And so I think that
that's really good. Yeah.
They didn't know they were doing anything wrong until there were laws saying, "Hey, you're doing something wrong." So Scripture becomes that for us, and then we can then renew our mind.
That's really good. That's awesome. What were you going to say, Lonnie? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, some of it is just everyday attitudes. Mm-hmm. I have seen a lot in 20 some years of ministry of seeing people go through all the grow tracks and go through an internship and yet still be as nasty and just yucky fruit, you know, attitudes and gossip. And like, that is equally not pleasing to God. Like, all of it is, all of that is, I love that, Lonnie, that conforming. It's almost like we're so used to it, it's not even abnormal, you know? And I think that's really good what Jeremiah was saying, and you're tagging on to that. To be able to not conform to the ways of the world, you got to know what God's word says about how to live first. You know, it's like it says that his word is a mirror. It's like a mirror. It acts like a mirror, and it doesn't lie. And that's one reason why I think that I avoided God's word for a long time is I didn't want to see the truth. I knew if I read it, I was going to see the truth. And I didn't, you know, you go through those seasons sometimes where you're not really where you need to be. Like, the last thing you want to do is get the mirror out when you already know you don't look very good. And so that is honestly and truthfully what happens. But the only way to be able to know what the ways of the world are is and how to not conform to them is to be in the Word, to understand what God's way of living looks like. And then you can see it very easily. You can see what contrasts with it way easier and faster.
That's awesome. You guys are doing great. Are some of you doing this for the first time and you're thinking, wow, this is cool, this is kind of easy? I mean, anybody that agrees to that? I mean, that's awesome. That's cool. What about a prayer? I know we're kind of running out of time here. I know there's a lot of other things we could say too, but anybody want to share the prayer maybe that they wrote or came up with that applies to this? Yeah. That's awesome. She says she wakes up, been waking up every day saying, God, guide my words and guide my actions. And that's, man, that's a great prayer every morning. Absolutely. That's good. Anybody else want to share a prayer that they wrote? Yeah. In response, yeah, absolutely. Help me be more Christian in my, what was your first one? And yeah. Gotcha. Okay. That's really good. Yeah. That's good. That's awesome. How about one more? Yes, in the back here. That's the best right there. Help me not call people stupid. Well, they say you can't fix stupid, but you can pray for them, right? That's awesome. That's good. And help me not to slit their throat, right? Lord, help us. Awesome.
Do you guys see how fun it is to dissect scripture, to interpret, to dig? Do you see the nuggets you found tonight in two verses? And so what we're going to do tonight, or this week, if you will, look in your notebooks real quick. We have a homework assignment for you. Courtney, if you want to go ahead and come up here. So here's what we're going to do. Courtney, actually, go ahead and bring the packets. I think it'll work because some of the homework is going to require them to use this. So here is the goal of Grow 2. We want you to get in the Word in such a way you understand it and apply it. So pretty much every week, we're going to spend a little bit of time on your Bible reading and your soap discoveries. You with me? So we're going to keep you accountable. That doesn't mean don't show up if you didn't do it. Like, seriously. you laugh. So what we want you guys to do is use soap on your Bible reading plan. And Courtney, do they have it already, or are you getting ready to pass it out?
They have it. I got it as I walked in.
Oh, fantastic. All right, so here's the deal. You've got the Bible reading plan. Use soap on the part that you want to wash, the part that you want to dig deeper in, okay? All right. Another thing we're going to ask you to do, we're kind of hardcore, aren't we? We're going to ask you to memorize one scripture a week. No, I know. We're not going to line you up like we did the interns. Interns had to recite them or write them, and there was like 100 or 200 of them. But we're just asking you guys, it's between you and the Lord whether or not you do this, but we as a team strongly encourage you to do it. The Word of God says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There is something about memorization. Now, memorization without understanding and application is just rote, just memory. But memorize it. Hide God's word in your heart. We're starting with John 3:16, the most famous scripture of the Bible. But I want you to study the word believes this week. Study the word believes. We're going to discuss that. Courtney, help me remember, Pastor Stephen. I want to hear what you found out about what the word believes means and what it did to your understanding of this scripture. All right, Courtney, I want you to go ahead and talk to them about what we have tonight and lead us out.
All right, guys. So I mentioned it a little bit at the beginning, but what we have for you are little packs. It has a journal, has some index cards, highlighters, and pens for you guys to begin practicing soap at home and working on your scripture memorization. Like I said, these are $5. And if you don't have cash with you tonight, you can come up to the office tomorrow or find me on Sunday. And then also, as I mentioned, we have more resources. Some of you may already have journals, may already have some of these tools, or maybe you have some pens at home that you like, but you just need a journal. We've got journals in Cafe Aroma, and we'll have more resources available to you guys. So you can get these at the back as you head out, and then just let us know if you need to touch base with us. We'll be looking for you either tomorrow in the office or on Sunday. Just a couple of reminders that I wanted to give you. Make sure that you have signed in. Remember, we're doing paper and digital for a couple of weeks just to make sure that everything goes smoothly with the check-in system. So please make sure that you check your name on the roster. If you were not here, sign in. Give us your information. Something that is different for Grow 2 is that there is a cutoff date. So you don't need to know this because you're already here. But if you had a friend that was always with you in Grow 1 and you know they attended every single week with you and qualified and attended enough to come to Grow 2 and they haven't come yet, get them on your phone or talk to them and say, hey, you need to be here next week. Next week is the last week to join Grow 2. Because if you join any later, you've already missed too many to go to Grow 3. So there is a cutoff date for Grow 2, which is next week. This is the last day that people can join. And then your Bible reading plan that you received as you came in, if you did not get one, we have them at the back as well. And we're asking you to commit, just like in Grow 1, to 5 days a week. In Grow 1, it was like little portions of scripture. So we're asking you to do 5 days a week, one chapter a day. And remember that we're also reading through the story as a church. So chapter 1 of the story was our assignment from last Sunday to read. So chapter 1 of the story, and then 5 days from that Bible reading plan. Pick the 5 days that are best for you. If Saturday is a terrible day for you to read your word, that's okay. That's why we're asking you for only five. One chapter a day, 5 days, and that chapter of the story.
One more announcement, and that is Encounter. Encounter starts Sunday night at 6 o'clock in the chapel. If I don't think we have Encounter sign-up sheets in here. We did it in Grow 1. But if you have not signed up, please sign up tonight. Let myself or Courtney know. The best way I can explain Encounter is just somehow used by God to remove obstacles that have always been there. This is not about big, hairy, dangerous, scary sin that we can't get rid of, but sometimes it can be that for some. It's for anybody. Everyone. I want every person, and our pastor, Pastor Stephen and I, want every person to go through Encounter. It's that powerful and life-changing. And so if you haven't signed up or you're interested and have questions, you can come see me, Pastor Stephen, or Courtney after Grow 2. Any questions? Any comments? Jana, you good? What are you taking away tonight? Was it helpful? Mm-hmm. Awesome, Jana. Anybody relate to her? Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to pray God's blessing over you and your week. Father, I just pray right now over this team, this group. We just thank you so much. I am reminded of that scripture. It says that your Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and teaches us all truth. And Lord, I think all of us in here could say we felt you doing that tonight. We just knew you, your Holy Spirit is here, and you are leading us and teaching us and guiding us into all truth. And I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit lives in us. So we all get to go home with him. And he's going to continue. We ask that, Lord, you would continue to teach us this week. Continue to guide us and lead us into all truth as we apply soap in our everyday lives, in our scripture, and our Bible time. Lord, bless every person here at the sound of my voice. Help them have a great week. Father, I pray that you would protect all of the seeds you're planting in us right now. Don't let the enemy come and devour them, Lord. We just pray that we would have a tremendous harvest of fruitfulness from what you're doing in all of us right now and grow too. In Jesus' name, amen.